Well, good evening, everyone. We're going to get our Bibles open to Deuteronomy 30. So if you need a Bible, please just raise your hand, and someone would love to come and bring you one. Now, as you turn to Deuteronomy 30, you may be thinking, if you've been here over the last couple of weeks, well, last week we looked at Deuteronomy 18, so what's happened? Have I kind of blinked and missed something? Well, you haven't. We've started to speed up a little bit on a Sunday evening in our Deuteronomy passages. And that's not to say that there isn't lots we can learn from the chapters in between. Just to say, too, if you're joining us, if this is the first Sunday you've been here in the evening, then Deuteronomy is made up really of three sermons of Moses, who was God's kind of chosen mediator between him and his people. And in Deuteronomy, he's declaring God's law to the people, and he's declaring to them and calling for them to love the Lord and to obey all that he's commanded them to do. Now, Moses' third sermon starts back in chapter 27, and he provides this really graphic picture to all the people, which is really the backdrop of what we're looking at tonight. And what he calls them to do is he calls half of God's people to go up a mountain called Mount Gerizim. And up there, they declare all the blessings that would come upon them and continue to come upon them if they continue to listen and obey the Lord their God. And then he asks the other half to go up another mountain called Mount Ebal. And they pronounce curses for all those who would start to ignore or disobey the Lord and his words. So in the backdrop of what we're going to read tonight, there's these kind of two mountains. That's what would be going through their minds. One of listening to God and obeying what his words say and the blessings and life that flow from that. And then the backdrop, too, of the curses that would befall those who'd be disobedient to God and start to ignore him. So this is a strong image in our background of the passage we're reading. But as we pick up in chapter 30, verse 15, these are Moses' kind of final words in his final sermon. This is what he wants them to go away thinking about. So let's read those, starting at verse 15. Moses says, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to the other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." This is God's word to us this evening. And just before we turn and look at this together, we're going to be singing, standing and singing again, "As We Gather," which is really a prayer as we come to God's word that we want him to speak to us through it. Please take a seat. I should probably stop saying that. Someone told me off for saying please take a seat earlier because they said, "Where should I take it to?" So I'll stop saying that. Let me pray before we look back at God's word together. Our Father in heaven, we've just sung, "Awaken our hearts, illumine our minds, show us Jesus." And Father, we simply ask that that would be true this evening, that you'd take any distractions that are currently in our minds and just help us to dwell on your word this evening, to hear what you have to say, and then to be obedient to it. So, Father, please help us in our listening, and then please help us in our doing, as a result of what we hear from your word this evening. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's estimated that the average adult makes about, and I quote, 35,000 remotely conscious decisions a day. Now, my personal understanding of the word remotely here is that kind of first 20 minutes of the day when you wake up and you're not quite with it yet, or if that's just me, I don't know, and you make decisions there. But regardless, 35,000 remotely conscious decisions in a day is quite a lot. So questions like, where am I? What am I doing? Who's that? What's that person's name? What time is it? How long is this sermon going to be? What's that noise? It's constant questions. In fact, according to the Mirror Online, in a lifetime we make around 770,000 different decisions, of which apparently we will regret about 150,000, which is quite a lot, isn't it? So we're always making decisions. We spend our lives and our days making decisions. But some choices are going to be more important than others. So what I'm going to wear today probably isn't as important as, is it safe to cross the road at this point? Or deciding your favorite color probably isn't as important as choosing which treatment to battle a particular illness. And as Moses concludes his final sermon, he presents to the people of God a vast choice. He says to them, life or death? You see, out of all the choices we make in life, here is one not to regret later on. And unsurprisingly, as Moses speaks and he addresses God's rescued people, he commands them to choose life. Just have a look down with me to verse 19 of the passage I read earlier. Moses says, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. You see, what we do with the Lord and his words is a matter of life and death. You see, as the Israelites walked home after hearing Moses' third sermon, his final plea as he spoke to them, and as they kind of got home, they zipped up their tents, they turned to one another, the question running through their mind, or the thought running through their mind, would have been this kind of life or death. And for them, perhaps it was more graphic because they've just spent the day, as it were, either up one mountain pronouncing blessings or up the other mountain pronouncing curses. This was real to them. They would have been reflecting on these truths, reflecting on the curses and death for ignoring God and his words, and reflecting on the life and the blessings that would flow from continuing to listen to the Lord and obey him. Choose life. That's what they would have been discussing in their tents as they got back. And actually, we're not in a tent this evening, but as we sit under this message, you know, 3,000 or so years on, we now have a fuller revelation of the Lord through his word and through his son, our Lord Jesus. But the call to choose life remains the same. What we do with the Lord and his words is life or death. And Moses here calls the people to choose life, which really means to choose the Lord. To choose him above all else, and to keep choosing him as the only one to listen to and the only one to obey. So again, just glance at verse 20. There's this little phrase I want to draw your attention to. So it's halfway through, and it simply says, for the Lord is your life. See, choosing life means choosing the Lord, because he is the life giver. He's the Lord who created the world and all life that's in it. He's the one who's rescued them, given them new life, away from Egypt and captivity. He's the sustainer of our every breath. And through him alone, spiritual life is possible. You see, as we look around this room this evening, death to life stories are common. Because as God's people, we have come to choose life as we have put our trust and our hope in our Lord. But the call here for believers is to keep choosing life, to keep choosing the Lord. So as we dive into this passage, the question really to ask is this: what will choosing life or choosing the Lord mean? What's that going to look like? And very simply, I just want to focus on verse 20 this evening. And these are our 3 points, okay? So here they are. It's love the Lord your God. So it's in verse 20. Love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. See, three-point sermons are nothing new. Moses was doing it back in the day, and we're going to continue to do that this evening. So choose life means choosing the Lord, and firstly, this will be seen as we love the Lord our God. And this kind of love carries all the weight of full devotion and exclusive loyalty. Now, I'm not sure, like many of you, so I like a good coffee now and again. Do people drink coffee? Do you go out and grab a coffee in town occasionally? Well, if I was at the moment to take you for coffee in town, I would probably steer you towards Cafe Nero. Now, there are other available establishments, but the reason I would take you there is mainly for my love of loyalty cards. What can I say? I just love getting my card stamped and getting a free coffee now and again. It's a sad life. But the trouble is, I don't just have a loyalty card for Cafe Nero. I've got one for Costa. I've got one for the Skylight in Pearson's. And I've got plenty other. In fact, my phone is full of these cards with half-filled stamps on them. Now, I'm not sure they would be overly concerned where I drink my coffee. I'm not sure they're going to be chasing me down the road saying, did you have one in Costa the other day? You should come to Cafe Nero. But so they might not care about it. Perhaps you're more noble than I. Maybe you just have one establishment that you choose to go to each time. But actually, when it comes to coffee, it's not that big a deal, is it? But when it comes to choosing life, there is only one choice. And this means exclusive loyalty and complete devotion to the Lord. Not just when we feel like it, not just to go and get my holy card stamped every so often. You see, as the Israelites stood on the edge of the promised land, ready to advance and be surrounded by other nations, Moses reminds the people, choosing life means loving the Lord alone. It means avoiding the temptation to be drawn into worshipping other gods. Avoid the temptation to do what everyone else is doing and start following and bowing down to worthless idols. You see, for the Israelites, this was going to be a temptation they would face every day. Would they keep choosing the Lord wholeheartedly? Or would they go to, as it were, the God supermarket and start playing a bit of pick and mix religion? Would they choose life by remaining true to the Lord? Or would they choose death by being led astray to worship false and meaningless and lifeless idols? Life or death, that's their choice. And again, as we fast forward 3,000 years and still, as God's rescued people, daily we face this choice. The choice to give our exclusive loyalty to God alone or to devote our attention elsewhere. So it can be hard, can't it, as our neighbours, colleagues, and others around us devote their time and energy and resources to other things. As followers of Jesus, we're called to be different. As those around us worship and serve the gods of money and relationships and popularity, we are called to worship and serve the living and true God of the Bible. And actually, as each morning we wake up, we have that choice. Will we seek God through prayer and through his word? Or will we go life our own way and in our own strength? You see, just using the words of 2 Peter 1, will we make every effort to add to our faith goodness and knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection and love? As we seek to know God better and to grow in our loyalty and devotion to him. See, choosing life means loving the Lord your God, and it's a choice we are called to make each day in every aspect of our lives. So that includes as we think of others, as we talk to our children, perhaps, as we consider our finances. See, every aspect of our life is to be laid bare before God and given in total submission and exclusive devotion to Him. Now, as you trace this thought to the New Testament and to the life and the work of our Lord Jesus, it should remind us of Him who was completely devoted to the Lord above all else and anyone else. And it should remind us of His words in John 14, verse 6, where He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." It's exclusive in that sense. He's our only access. For those saved through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, choosing life means choosing the Lord Jesus and growing in our devotion and love of Him. Choosing life means choosing the Lord, and that will firstly show itself in our daily choices to give our Savior our undivided loyalty. It will mean loving the Lord our God wholeheartedly. But that's not the end of it. So choosing life and choosing the Lord also means listening to the Lord and listening to His voice. Now, growing up, like most of us here, I developed a hearing impairment called selective hearing. It's something that I've recently discovered with my Eleanor. It runs in the family. You know how it works. I'm sure you've all suffered from it. I'd be playing a game or something, and Mum would call to me that dinner was ready. But if it wasn't a convenient time, and it probably wasn't because I was doing something, like playing a game, I'd simply ignore the call. I'd switch off from that call. And then again, the call would come a couple of minutes later, dinner time. And the process would kind of keep going for a number of minutes, depending on what I was doing or how hungry I was, perhaps. And it can go on for quite a while until you hear those kind of thudding steps coming up the stairs and you think, okay, now I better listen. Now, however young or old you are this evening, selective hearing isn't something we naturally all do, if we admit it. It's normally for selfish reasons as well. But when it comes to listening to God, there's no room for selective hearing. When God speaks, His words carry all the weight of the world because He made the world and He made us. And not only that, but He has redeemed us from slavery to sin and from an empty life and given us new life. His words are life and they are good. And they require not just a listening ear, but a responsive heart and something that leads to active obedience. See, tonight you're listening to one sermon, which you're probably pleased about, but the Israelites are on their third sermon at this point. And Moses has been reminding them again and again of the Lord's love and His commands and the expectation of obedience to them as the saved people of God. See, laws and decrees that were to make them distinctive from the nations around them. Commands and words that were for their good as they sought to approach their holy, rescuing God as He dwelt amongst them. Remember again, they'd just been involved in declaring the blessings for obedience and pronouncing the curses for disobedience. And so now, as they entered the land, they had this choice to make. Would they choose life by listening to God's words, by putting them into practice, by being obedient to them? Or would they ignore God's words, refuse to take note of what He said, and become a disobedient people? I think one phrase in verse 16 captures something that, helpful as we consider this active obedience. So just glance at verse 16 with me. Let me just read verse 16. "For I command you today to love the Lord your God," here's the phrase, "to walk in obedience to Him." See, when you walk with someone, you tend to walk next to them and not kind of a mile down the road. You walk in step with them. There's a sense of closeness of relationship. And it's the same with a rescued believer. We are to walk in step with the Lord. Walking obediently will mean listening to God's words and putting them into practice. I recently read a helpful book by a certain Derek Prime, which talked about being deliberate with our obedience to the Lord. And one comment that particularly helped me was that one of his daily practices before reading God's word and listening to His voice through the Bible is to pray something along the lines of, Lord, help me to be obedient to what you are speaking to me this morning. And I think that's a great prayer for any time we come to Scripture, whether that's reading it personally in the mornings or as we come to church on a Sunday. Because Scripture should move us to action. See, it should cause us to repent, to mourn. It should cause us to praise and rejoice in our Lord Jesus, to hope in him. See, in the words of the New Testament letter to the Ephesians, we should be obedient in putting off our old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and then be obedient in putting on our new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, as we listen to God's voice, effectively, as we become obedient to him, we're killing sin, putting to death the sins of our lives, and we're seeking to grow in obedience to him, grow in our likeness of our perfect and obedient Savior, the Lord Jesus. So let me ask you this evening, how is your obedience to God's word going? Is it something that you are growing in? Something you are praying to him about to help you with? Are you in the habit of listening to his voice and seeking his help in being obedient to it? As those living this side of the cross and resurrection of Jesus, we've been given the Holy Spirit to enable us to begin to live this way as he transforms us, to do what God says with his help. Are you in the habit of asking for that help? The help that he provides. See, the Lord never calls us to do what he's not equipping us to do. And he's not ever calling us to do anything that our Lord Jesus hasn't first done before us. Our daily choice is to choose life or death. Choosing life and choosing the Lord means loving the Lord our God. It means listening to his voice. And finally, it means holding fast to him. In other words, it means keep going. Persevere in your walk with him. Now, I'm not sure what things in life you would naturally hold fast to. As I was thinking about this, I guess for me it might be as I crossed the road with my little Eleanor, I'd hold fast to her hand so she was kept safe as we walk across the road. And perhaps for you it's on a daily commute to London, and you're kind of holding on to the tube so you don't fall over or fall onto someone else who's sitting down. Interestingly, the words hold fast are traditionally quite a popular tattoo for sailors. You might have seen they kind of have one letter on each hand. Has anyone ever seen that? Or is it just me that's seen this? Kind of have hold on one hand and fast on the other. And it was popular because it was a permanent reminder to sailors, and probably still today perhaps, to grip tightly, to hold fast to the lines and riggings during a storm, which wasn't only for their benefit and to keep them safe, but it was to protect those on the ship as well. So the crew were dependent on them too, to hold fast no matter what. Now, I'm not suggesting you go and get a tattoo. But if we are to hold fast to the Lord, we do need to be deliberate in reminding ourselves. And again, when you hold fast to someone or something, you naturally cannot hold fast to something else. So if you're holding fast to that rope on the ship, as it were, you can't just move your hands away. You have to hold on to that. That's what holding it is. Your grip tightens around the thing you're holding to, and nothing else can get into it. So as the Israelites heard Moses' call to life, it included this holding fast to him. It would mean persevering in their loyalty and obedience to him. And that would mean in both the good times and in the hard times, when they were taken into captivity for being disobedient to him. Trusting him in the storms of life, when things didn't make sense, would their grip stay strong on the Lord? Or would it loosen and grab onto something else and hold onto something else? Now, there's plenty we could kind of think about, even on that image of holding fast. But let me just simply ask you, are you holding fast onto the Lord? Are you clinging to him as your Savior and protector? and also as the enabler and given you the power to live the way he has called you to live. When temptation, hardship hit hard against your life, will you keep choosing to hold fast to the Lord, or will you simply just let your grip go? See, Jesus says nothing new when in John 15 he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, if you hold fast to me and I in you, his grip on us, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. He continues by saying, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. See, we are called to choose life and to choose the Lord. As we love the Lord our God, as we listen to his voice, as we hold fast to him. You see, we're not saved from slavery to sin for our own comfort or for our own fun. We're saved by the precious blood of Jesus to be God's chosen possession and his message to a dying world. Doing what God says isn't how we are saved, but it is the right daily response to the one who first loved us and saved us. You see, for a believer in our Lord Jesus tonight, choosing life is the first step on our journey following Jesus, but it is also the choice that we make every day as we keep choosing to live for him. I guess it's worth saying for those here tonight who don't yet know the Lord, the command here to choose life is true for you. Moses says, choose life, choose the Lord, choose the life giver. This isn't the same as choosing a gym or a book club to join. This isn't pick and mix religion. This is a serious message. What you do with the Lord and his words is a life and death decision. And tonight he says, choose life, choose the Lord. Come to him, call out for forgiveness. Ask him to enable you to live the life of choosing him daily. So in life, we make a ton of choices, but here's a choice not to mess with. Choose life. Choose the Lord. It's a daily act. Will we be fully devoted to him? Will we love the Lord our God? Will we continue to listen to him and do what he says with his help? And will we hold fast to him and trust that actually even as our grip slips at time, his grip has got us and will take us and carry us to the end? This is our choice. Will we choose life? Will we choose the Lord today? Let me pray before we sing and come to the Lord's table. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our Lord Jesus, the one who was always fully devoted to you, who always listened and did what you said, who constantly held, as it were, fast to you. And Father, we thank you for those of us who are trusting the Lord Jesus this evening. You've enabled us to choose you, to choose life. And Father, we recognize afresh this evening that this is a choice we're daily confronted with. As we wake up in the mornings, Father, please help us to continue to choose life, to choose you, to keep following and being obedient to what you say. And Father, we do thank you that when we get it wrong, when we mess up, we can be comforted to know that even when our grip fails, your grip on us will never go as we trust you. But Father, even as we pray that, we do pray that we would be growing in our obedience to you, that we'd be growing in our daily listening to what you have to say, and that you'd be renewing us from within, renew us to be more like our Lord Jesus and to live for him. So Father, please would you equip us by your Spirit to do this, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.